Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Antal Dorati. And that ends today's edition of Words and Music. The readers were Deborah Findlay and David Haig, and the producer was Lisa Davis. You can find a full playlist, including all the details of tonight's readings and music, on the Radio 3 website. Well, next week's Words and Music takes the theme of idleness, and you can hear it at the same time, 10:15, here on BBC Radio 3, broadcasting between 90 and 93 FM on digital radio and online. It's now 11:30, and it's time for this week's edition of Jazz Lineup, presented by Claire Martin.
Hello. Hammond Grooves, new sax grooves and gig news are at the fore for this week. And later, a concert from Dr. Lonnie Smith performing in Glasgow. And saxophonist John Martin makes his CD debut on the Fire label, and he'll be talking to me later on. But soft-taught saxophonist Simon Spillett's love of jazz was initially inspired by his trombone-playing dad's record collection. His second CD release from 2007, Sienna Red, draws heavily on the writing of tenor legend Tubby Hayes, who is often cited as his primary influence. The record was met with much critical acclaim, and Simon went on to win the 2007 BBC Jazz Awards for Rising Star. Let's play the title track from that CD with John Critchison on piano, Andrew Kleindert on bass, and Spike Wells on the drums. Here's Simon's version of Sienna Red.
Thank you.
out on the Woodville record label, that was the highly talented saxophonist Simon Spillett with his version of Tubby Hayes' Sienna Red, the title track of that CD. And you can hear Simon tomorrow night at the Hare and Hounds if you're in Worthing, and he'll be recording an exclusive set from his new band very soon here on Jazz Lineup. James Farm is a collaborative band featuring saxophonist Joshua Redmond, pianist Aaron Parks, bassist Matt Penman, and drummer Eric Harland. Their joint influences range from soul, funk, folk, classical, and electronica, and they pool their collective knowledge to deliver organic music with a real sense of purpose. It's still the traditional acoustic jazz quartet instrumentation, but it has a very progressive modern sound, and my favourite track from this very polished and diverse recording is this track, 1 to 10.
Thank you.
Joshua Redman with Aaron Parks, Matt Penman and Eric Harlan with the track 1 to 10, taken from their new CD out now on the Nonesuch record label, and it's called James Farm. Recently on Jazz Lineup, we talked to pianist Jeff Eales, who celebrated his 60th birthday last month. We talked about his latest project, which is currently touring to 25 nationwide jazz venues. The new CD is called Shifting Sands, and let's hear him now playing solo from that recording. And it's a really beautiful composition entitled The New Arrival.
Thank you.
Jeff Eales with The New Arrival, and that's taken from his latest CD called Shifting Sands, which is out now on the Be Natural record label. And we all wish Jeff a belated happy birthday and a wonderful year ahead. If you'd like to see Jeff playing live and you live in Norfolk, then you're in luck because he's there tomorrow night on the 4th at the Old Chapel. Otherwise, keep your eye out for him in the listings as the tour may very well bring him to a venue near you. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Claire Martin. We are online, on FM and on DAB Digital Radio. And now something from a new band, the John Martin Quartet, and their debut album, Dawning. Before I talk to John, let's hear a bit of that title track. Part of the track Dawning from the new John Martin Quartet, and I'm very pleased to say John has popped into the Jazz Lineup studios. Welcome, John.
Thank you very much.
This is your debut album, but I've noticed that you've recorded this in Italy. It's a bit glamorous for a first album, isn't it?
I've always heard amazing things about this studio in Italy from some other musicians that have recorded out there, and it was kind of always a dream to go and record in a place like this. I've always liked the ECM sound. Well, it became possible as the rest of the band were all up for chipping in.
Oh, great.
To help
great.
With accommodation and travel, which made it affordable.
Yeah. So tell us about the band, because there's four of you. Have you been together for a long time?
Just a couple of years, as the title suggests, Dawning. It's kind of the beginning of the road for us, but we've put an awful lot of work into this.
It sounds like you've been playing together for a long, long time. It sounds very tight.
It's an unusual situation, because I was a guardian in a property on the North Circular, which meant I had a four-bedroom house to myself, but being because I was a gardener, it was affordable. But that meant that I could have band rehearsals around there.
Perfect.
And we spent I think 4 or 5 months meeting very regularly
to
practice and try out ideas.
All the compositions are by you.
Yes.
But did they have a say in sort of the organic process of the material coming together?
Yes, we tried. I wrote the basic shapes and. Then we tried out different forms and different ideas, and I'd go back and rewrite something, and then we'd try it and see how that worked.
You studied
at Middlesex,
right,
and
okay.
That's kind of where the writing started. I studied composition with Nicky Isles, mostly, and a bit with Eddie Parker as well.
Great.
And, very grateful to have had this opportunity to study with her.
Well, the album's got fantastic reviews from Kenny Wheeler and Ian Ballamy. There's two really good quotes on your press. So obviously everyone's behind you on this. Let's talk about where you see yourself going from this point. I mean, do you see yourself expanding into more festival arenas or?
Yeah, this is exactly what I want to be doing. This is kind of my dream, to be playing in festivals across Europe. Well, this year it's just in this country. We have a tour coming up and.
Yep. We'll mention some of the dates after we play the next track, which is Swagger. I love this track. I love the title of it. What inspires you to write?
I'll be interested in a particular area of music. I might want to improve my playing, learn more about, so I'll explore an area for a long time and then take all the best bits that I've discovered and build something out of it.
Brilliant. That's very clever, actually. I read that you do. I thought that's a smart way of going about it, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
A tune out of your practice or something.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Like, and something you might explore for 6 months or something, and you have all this material, and amongst that there will be some good things.
So just tell us who's in the band.
It's Tim Fairhall on double bass, Andy Ball on the drums and John Joe Grisdale on the piano.
Fantastic. Well, let's play out now with the track Swagger, and your tour's taking you up and down the country. You're going to be at the National Theatre Foyer on the 8th of April, and then May you're going up to Lowestoft, Scarborough, Manchester, Yorkshire, I mean all these dates and these fantastic jazz clubs. So we wish you all the best with the tour. It's such a great CD, and wish you all the best with your tour and success with this. John Martin Quartet and Dawning, and here's the track Swagger. Thanks for coming in, John.
Thank you very much.
The track Swagger, written by John Martin and played by the John Martin Quartet from their new album, Dawning, out on the Fire Records. And thanks to John for coming to talk to us today. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Claire Martin. We are online on FM and on DAB Digital Radio. The music you hear is available on the BBC website for the next 7 days. Go to bbc.co.uk/radio3 and click on the Jazz Lineup page. Singer Ian Shaw has released an exciting new CD recorded in just one day at the legendary Abbey Road Studios. Joined by a cross-generational sextet that includes bass legend Peter Ind, drummer Gene Calderezzo, and his regular collaborator, the guitarist David Preston. Time Out is raving that Ian is at the peak of his powers, and here's the track that certainly stands out for me, Ian showing an impressive vocal range and a bluesy feel on Buddy Johnson's Since I Fell For You.
You made me leave my happy home. You gave me love and now you're gone. Since I fell for you, your love brings me such misery and pain. I guess I'll never ever love this way again. Since I fell for you, so sad, it's so bad. I fell in love with you. You hurt me and desert me. What can I do? I'm still in love with you. I guess. I guess I'll never see the light. And I get the blues every night. Since I fell for you. I guess I'll never see the light. I get the blues every night, every night. For you.
Fremy and Shaw's new release, The Abbey Road Sessions, and that was Since I Fell For You, written by Buddy Johnson. And that new CD is out now on the Splashpoint record label. Ian is also appearing at the Steinway Festival in Soho at the Pizza Express on Friday the 15th of April, and he's with pianist Jeanette Mason. Our concert set this week features previously unbroadcast tracks from Hammond organ guru Dr. Lonnie Smith, recorded by us at last year's Glasgow International Jazz Festival. To comment on the tracks and give us his impression of the performance is Mike Hoggart from the Financial Times. Hello, Mike.
OK, it's lovely to be here.
It's great to see you. It certainly sounds like a wonderful gig to have been at. The recording really puts across a lot of energy.
Yes, it's full of life, and Dr. Lonnie Smith's quirks. He's quite a quirky organist, and he mixes up his drawbars to get all sorts of sounds, which... sometimes a bit funeral parlour, in fact. Other times, way psychedelic.
Yeah, but absolutely. On this first track, you can hear that. Yeah. Really, really out there. He's not actually really a doctor, is he? It's just a tongue.
I very much doubt it. Okay, I think it's a bit Duke Ellington.
Right, okay.
And Count Basie.
Okay. Lady Day.
That's right, Lady Day.
But do you think we've caught, with this recording, some real classic Dr. Lonnie, do you think?
It's great live Lonnie Smith.
Well, before we play the first track, Mike, tell us who the band are.
It's Jamari Williams, a beautiful young drummer who's been around with Kenny Garrett and Jackie Trask and all sorts. And Jonathan Kreiberg is a fairly new guitar player for me. But again, you look him up and he's paid his dues with Lee Konitz and he's got that solid New York thing that he plays to everybody.
Let's hear this first track, which I think is a really, you know, stands out as that really mad psychedelic energy. And it's the track Beehive.
Thank you. This is on our latest CD. It's called Beehive. We'll be right back. CD, Beehive. Not behave, Beehive. Thank you. Jamar Williams on the drums. Jamar Williams. This is Jonathan Kreisberg on the guitar.
There was the tracks Beehive and Further Down, and this is Jazz Line Up with me, Claire Martin, and I'm talking to Mike Hobart about this concert we're currently broadcasting by Dr. Lonnie Smith, recorded at last year's Glasgow International Jazz Festival, and that was at the Fruit Market. I don't know whether you've been there, but it was...
I've never been.
It is an old fruit market, funny enough, and it's a huge space, as you can imagine, so I'd imagine there's lots of people dancing. The atmosphere is terrific. But let's just talk a little bit about... You said paying dues there earlier. He really has paid his dues, hasn't he, Dr. Lonnie, because he started off playing with George Benson, and he really was a very accomplished jazz organist. And then he had sort of the Boogaloo phase. Just tell us a little bit about his career prior to this.
He really hits in the 70s. I think that's his thing. His Alligator Boogaloo with Lou Donaldson, and that's put in the funky stuff. You've got the delayed backbeat coming in there, so it's a nice extrusion, if you like. From the 70s, and he is an album Think, which I particularly like. Actually, it's a really great album. And in the 90s, he turns up with people like Hank Crawford. I saw him at Ronnie's, in fact, when Hank Crawford was really ill. It must have been about 5 or 6 years ago, and Lonnie just saved the gig, completely saved the gig. And I think the thing with Lonnie is that he's got a bit of madness in him. He's got the he's got all the Jimmy Smith stuff, but there's almost a bit of Sun Ra stuck in there as well. A little bit of Ring Modulator comes to mind. Like Larry Young and stuff. Yes. So he's still a forward-looking guy, and rhythmically he's kept pace as well.
Yeah.
So there's it's history, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You start off with the blues and end up with hip-hop, and it's all in what Lonnie's doing.
He certainly has played some... I mean, I particularly like a couple of the George Benson albums I didn't even know he was on that I've got. Yeah. So I had to sort of go back to that and go, oh, right, it's him.
He's on more than you think as well. You scratch around, because I got a lot of the 70s and 60s Blue Note stuff.
Let's talk about his vocalising along with the organ. I mean, Jimmy Smith did this. Jimmy Smith, I read, was his absolute inspiration. And he sort of sings along. Do you think he copied that?
I don't know if he copied it from Jimmy. I mean, I never heard Jimmy sing that much along with him. There's quite a lot. He's gone beyond, not gone beyond, but he's taken Jimmy and moved it a bit elsewhere. Organs never sounded like this before Jimmy Smith, the same as guitars and bass guitars. All that comes out of these sorts of guys.
Well, he considers himself a vocalist first, actually, because he grew up in a very musical family where he was singing.
He started late as well. Yeah. I don't think he started till he was 20. So he starts really late for an instrumentalist.
And self-taught.
But personally, I think the singing is probably a bit Keith Jarrett for me. That is something you put up with rather than... relish. But others may differ.
Should we go to some more music now, Mike, and let's play Frame for the Blues.
Thank you.
Frame for the Blues, played by Dr. Lonnie Smith, taken from last year's Glasgow International Jazz Festival. And I'm talking to Mike Hobart about Dr. Lonnie Smith. What do you think the appeal is of Dr. Lonnie? And do you think he's really, you know, should be playing more than he is?
I think so. I think he's so funky. Mm. And he's got so much. When we talk about energy, it's so controlled as well. And you've got those bass pedals coming up. They just really come up through the floorboards at you. So really, there's lots of young guys playing organ. They're all pretty good. And then Lonnie comes along and he's just on a... He's just so funky. He makes you feel good. And there's lots in there as well. So it doesn't just trill along. There's all sorts of little textures and changes.
When's the last time
stuff.
You saw him play then?
I saw him must have been about 2 years ago, right. I think. 2 years. It's probably
so he's on the
cafe.
Circuit.
So he's on the circuit and he's playing again at Ronnie's, I think, in a couple of months' time.
Wow.
So Lonnie's very much around at the moment.
Well, let's play the last piece. And it's, again, from the Glasgow International Jazz Festival we recorded last year. And it's at the Old Fruit Market, which is a really vibey place. And the last track's called Playing It Back.
Thank you.
Jamari Williams on the drums. Jamari Williams. Mr. Jonathan Kreisberg on the guitar. Jonathan Kreisberg.
Wow, he really is something else. Dr. Lonnie Smith playing from last year's Glasgow International Jazz Festival. So, Mike, what do we think? I mean, he really is a one-off, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a one-off. Makes you feel good. I mean, you can just see him sitting down there. You tap your feet straight away. And after an hour of it, you're basically off your face. You don't need anything else. It sounds like it was a great gig to have been at.
He sounds like he's really such a showman, you know. I mean, there's an art to that as well. I think sometimes you can go to quite serious jazz gigs and perhaps... You'd like a bit more fun, a bit more touchy feely. Sounds like he delivers this in spades.
Yeah. All the jazz heavies, they've got a stage presence. To be honest with you, I mean, some of it's serious, But when they come along, they just eat up the stage.
Yeah.
So you wonder if they're as good as they think they are, if they're not doing that, to be honest. But Lon is different, and he's almost musical. I mean, he's got this sort of deadpan face, and it's all tongue in the cheek. It's very much his personality. Mm. He's a geezer. He's a bit of a geezer.
He's a dude.
He is, isn't he? He's a geezer playing the organ. And he's right from the inside. I think it's terrific. It's really terrific. And he's got these young guys with him, these young cats.
They must be loving it. What a great experience for them to come through the ranks with him.
And they're adding to it.
Thank you very much for coming in and talking to us today.
It was a pleasure.
Mike Hobart from the Financial Times. And Dr. Lonnie Smith was recorded for Jazz Lineup on the 25th of June last year. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Claire Martin. The Guardian claims that pianist Nicky Iles is one of the most refreshing and promising figures on the UK jazz scene. Hugely respected by her peers, Nicky is always in demand for her compelling improvisation, world-class accompanying and skillful compositions. Her 2003 release, Veils, was a collection of her original pieces, played with regular musical partner saxophonist Stan Saltzman, with Mike Outram on the guitar, Mick Hutton on bass and Anthony McKell on drums. My favourite track is dedicated by Nicky to drummer Tim Giles, and it's called Fly's Dilemma. Thank you. One of the most creative pianists around, Nikki Iles with Fly's Dilemma from her 2003 release, Veils. And you can hear Nikki play on the 14th of April as part of the Steinway Festival being held at the Pizza Express in Dean Street, Soho. Guitarist John Etheridge's group Sweet Chorus have been playing together for the last 12 years, and their CD, Small Hotel, released back in May of 2009, sees them in fine fettle and swinging hard. Chris Garrick is on the violin, Dave Kelby is on rhythm guitar, and Andy Crowdy is playing the bass on this Rodgers and Hart standard, You Took Advantage of Me. John Etheridge on guitar with Sweet Chorus and You Took Advantage of Me. And John will be performing exclusively for us with John Haller on the piano at this year's Bath Festival on Saturday the 28th of May. And you can get your tickets for that because we'll put a link to the Bath Festival on our own website. On the same bill will be Andy Shepherd and John Paricelli, and that's all happening at the Assembly Rooms in Bath at this year's festival in May. Well, that's it for this week. Kevin Legendre is back in this chair next week presenting the Buck Clayton Legacy Band, recorded on tour with our very own Alan Shipton on bass, performing previously non-recorded items, so it's a feast of music there. Jazz on 3 for Monday, and Jez Nelson will present a concert by the Sylvie Courvoisier Mark Feldman Quartet, a former Nashville country fiddler. Mark Feldman also happens to have the tone and virtuosity of a concert violinist. Till next time from me, Claire Martin. Bye-bye.
This is Through the Night on Radio 3. Hello from me, Susan Sharp. Good to have your company. Puccini famously felt the hand of God on his shoulder, urging him to write for the theatre, only for the theatre. And that's pretty well what he did. But we're about to hear one of the few pieces he didn't write for the theatre. It's easy to glimpse, though, in his youthful and very joyful Messa di Gloria, the dramatic power he'd soon unleash on the operatic stage. Seeing a production of Verdi's Aida had convinced Puccini that his career lay in the operatic world, and in the theatricality and drama of his mass setting and the operatic arias given to the tenor and bass soloists, there are certainly similarities with Verdi's Requiem. In this Bulgarian performance of Puccini's Messa di Gloria, the tenor is Boyko Tsvetanov, the baritone Alexander Krunev, and the bass Dimitra Stanchev.
Oh.